It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, it's our weekly Share Something segment. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's music critic will share some Wisconsin bands he's excited about this spring.
First, what if we had a health treatment that was cheap, had no side effects, and made a difference for a wide variety of health problems? Our next guest says it exists. It's not snake oil. It's exercise.
Dr. Jordan Metzl has been making the case for more exercise and trying to get us more active. He's a sports medicine physician at New York City's Hospital for Special Surgery. He's the author of the book, The Exercise Cure.
You can get your own copy of The Exercise Cure with lots of exercise tips, specific recommendations, and motivational advice with your pledge of $150. That's $12.50 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dr. Jordan Metzl joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Before we get some specific exercise advice, can you just remind us of the general case? What are the health benefits of getting more exercise?
Sure. Thanks so much. So, you know, the idea of the exercise cure was I'm a sports medicine physician in New York, and I see lots of people all day long who want to move. And in my office any day, you know, the waiting room could be anybody from an 8-year-old gymnast to an 82-year-old lady this year who did the marathon. You know, the commonality between all of them is that they want to exercise and they want to move. And over years of doing that, you know, I recognized that those people, you know, they were just healthier, and I thought they just had so much going on. You know, the old adage used to say, if you want to get something done, ask an athlete of any age. And I just was starting to think, like, you know, these people just seem really healthy. And so I started looking at this correlation between exercise and wellness, and not just because, all right, I know exercise is good for me, like, unless you've been living under a rock, you know exercise is something you should do. But what's the actual scientific basis for exercise as a medicine? And so I started with the brain and went down the human body by system, starting with the brain. So what's the evidence for exercise for the treatment of depression, for the treatment of anxiety, for sleep disorders, you know, dementia, all the way down to heart disease, diabetes, osteoporosis, osteoarthritis, certain types of cancer. And then in the second half of the book, how people can start dosing the medicine of exercise for themselves at home without a gym, without a trainer. And the message has just been so well received by both the general public, and also I'm trying to work now on kind of policy issues around incentivizing wellness. So there's a lot here, I think, in terms of this topic of really getting exercise to be something that we view not as something that makes us feel good, which it does, but also as a very, very powerful medicine. I make the argument the most powerful medicine across the spectrum of the human condition.
And speaking of that motivation issue, I just saw a piece you wrote on that, looking at a financial incentive for exercise.
That's right. So that's the one that came out last week in Slate, or 2 weeks ago in Slate. And Slate is kind of an edgy online journal that tackles topics that raise eyebrows. And the piece I wrote for them was basically, should you get a tax break for joining the gym and going to the gym? And the argument I make is that, you know, in the United States, we're spending almost $3 trillion on health care. It's almost a misnomer because it's basically disease treatment with a little bit of health care thrown in. You know, we're spending, you know, by far the most, more than double any country in the world, yet we're ranked 28th in life expectancy, and we're just throwing, you know, literally trillions of dollars at disease treatment, and we're doing very little to incentivize people to be healthy. So we just keep throwing more and more dollars at these very expensive problems. 65% of the healthcare dollars are spent on the issues related to the obesity epidemic, including heart disease, diabetes, et cetera. So, you know, it's a really expensive issue. So I want to look at how do we start kind of changing that discussion. So the idea of the piece I wrote was to look at what incentivizes people to do things. So, you know, why do people buy houses? Why do they, in some cases, make all kinds of decisions? And the answer is they're incentivized to do things based on either the tax code or different things. So I make the argument that we should be incentivizing people to move, and not just because, you know, they should, but because I think it'll save us money by preventing disease instead of treating it.
Well, let's get into some of the specific advice you offer in the exercise code. Something I thought would be useful for, well, me and anybody else who's at a desk-bound kind of job. You have advice on flexibility training for people who work at desks all day. What kind of exercises would be the prescription there?
Well, Rob, here's I get to that part. So in the second half of the book, as I go through the different types of exercises, I break it down into bronze, people who are not active at all, silver, people who are a little bit active, and gold, people who are already very active and want to prevent injury and maximize performance. And so, you know, somebody who's sitting around not doing very much, I think, poses a real public health question to me. So, you know, the question is, if you were somebody maybe in the 1970s or so listening, and you turned on the TV or opened a magazine, you'd see like the Marlboro Man or different people, lots of smoking ads, all the magazines, all the movies from that time had smoking as part of the culture. You really don't see that at all anymore. So in the last, you know, kind of 20 to 30 years, we've really changed the dialogue on smoking. And the reason we have is that we recognize that smoking and smoke is a carcinogen, that it's dangerous, that the health effects of smoke include things like, you know, high blood pressure, different types of cancer, diabetes, you know, many health problems that are not very good and ultimately also very expensive. So we've really tried to get the public health information, and we've really changed the discussion on smoking, whereas it used to be everywhere. Now it's, you know, less and less and less. Now, if you take that argument and you take inactivity or sitting, and you look at the health risks of just sitting around for 7-8 hours in a row at a time at a desk, and you look at the health risk of those problems, the risks include heart disease, diabetes, certain types of cancer, and basically, except for lung cancer, which is a direct irritant of smoke, it's almost identical to smoking. So I think making the parallel that sitting is the new smoking makes a lot of sense, I think, medically. And so I try and give exercises like the desk sitting stretches and getting up and moving once an hour to really have people increase what's called their NEAT profile, which is an acronym for non-exercise active thermogenesis, or in English, just burning calories from moving around. And I want people to do that and do it regularly.
One of the pieces of advice I thought was interesting, you say the most valuable bit of exercise equipment you can get, if you get just one thing, it's a foam tube, the foam roller. Why is that such a valuable piece of equipment? It seems really simple.
I love that thing. I mean, so basically in my bronze and in my silver, I talk about working on what's called your kinetic chain. So kinesis means movement, and the kinetic chain of the body is the chain of the muscles from tip to toe. And the stronger and more flexible that chain is, the less your achy knee or your achy back or your achy shoulder bothers you. And so I really want people to learn how to strengthen their kinetic chain and also to loosen their kinetic chain. So I've actually been teaching a number of different boot camp classes around the country. In fact, these are free online. If anybody listening wants to ever try one of these, you can just put my name, Jordan Metzl, Iron Strength, and you'll find this free online streaming boot camp you can do. And also a lot with flexibility. And what we found is the best way to improve your flexibility is to roll out your muscles on what's called a foam roller. And so I have in my Exercise Cure book a whole series of exercises to do with your foam roller. And what I tell people is you're going to hate it initially, and then you'll learn to love it. And that it really helps.
And, yeah, you've got them diagrammed out simply enough that I could even see myself doing them. It's not hard to figure them out.
Is it see yourself doing it, or you will do it?
Well, you're going to put me on. So I will say, last time you were on, you got me motivated to spend 20 minutes a day on the treadmill. So you got
right,
me started.
Good.
So you're telling me now I've got to do the foam roller when I go home.
I mean, dude, I got to hold you accountable if I'm going to hold myself accountable and everybody listening.
All right. Well, I'll do it. Hey, maybe I'll put a condition on this. We'll get back to Dr. Jordan Metzl in a bit. He stays with us to share the exercise cure. And if you need some exercise advice, by the way, or motivation, you can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 to maybe ask a question of Dr. Metzl.
We continue our conversation now with Dr. Jordan Metzl, author of The Exercise Cure.
He's making the case that exercise, we all know it's healthy, but he says it's really healthy. It helps prevent or treat a lot of conditions are out there. Most of us, almost all of us, should be doing more exercise. You can join with your questions for him. He's got a lot of practical advice at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We've got Jason on the line in Fort Atkinson now. Jason, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, I had back surgery in 2009, and while I was waiting for back surgery, I gained 40 pounds. And after the back surgery, it's in my lower back. It started to get better. I started to lose weight. I lost 30 pounds. I started going to school, and the weight came back, and I haven't been able to get rid of it. It hurts when I exercise. pretty much no matter what I do, it hurts.
Gotcha. Jason, thanks for the call. Dr. Metzl, I know you don't have Jason in front of you or his charts, but some general advice on exercises that might be better suited for someone who's had something like back surgery.
Sure. It's a great question. So Jason calls with a tough question, and, you know, it kind of gets to a broader issue of what do I do if I have arthritis in my knees or, you know, a herniated disc in my back or an achy back and things hurt when I move, or, you know, I'm overweight for my body type and it hurts when I move. You know, do I do nothing? Do I try and do something? And the answer that I give is you got to start doing something. And so what is that something? So you have to figure out what kind of exercises don't hurt your back or don't, you know, bother you. In Jason's case, you know, that big amount of weight fluctuation puts a lot of load on the back, and it can hurt a lot. And I definitely fully empathize with, you know, the weight gain and weight loss. That's tough, man. So hang in there, Jason. But I think some of the things to think about would be, first of all, if possible, swimming is great because it's completely weightless. So people with arthritic joints, arthritic knees, even achy backs or herniated discs in their back, you know, generally can tolerate swimming pretty well. The stuff with the foam roller, if you can do it, really helps loosen up the muscles a lot. And then I go through a series of exercises called isometrics, which involve really holding one position. A great example of that is called the plank. And a plank is good because it starts to strengthen muscle and burn calories when you're holding a position instead of moving. And that can help too. So, you know, those are just some introductory thoughts for somebody like Jason. Obviously, it depends person to person. But my overall thought is there's something for everybody. And so, you know, really try and think about that. And even for some of your older listeners, you know, people in their 70s and their 80s who feel like, all right, well, you know, what's the use of exercising for me? And the answer is everything.
Jason, thanks for the call and good luck to you. And you mentioned the foam roller. One more pledge puts me on the foam roller. You could be the one who gets me up. Oh, no, somebody just did it. We've got those five pledges. And remember, you
That's
can
awesome.
Get a. It is. So I will stick to it after band practice tonight. I'm getting out the foam roller and I'll do some
exercise.
I kind of feel
like, though, just as a totally neutral listener, I feel like there needs to be some validation. These guys are they're donating, first of all, National Public Radio, one of the greatest assets of our country. I love NPR, and thank you so much, everybody, for donating. It's a great resource we have. But I feel like these guys are donating their thing. They're five people who are donating that Rob, in good faith, is going to get on the roller. I feel like you can make those little things for your eyes or put a ski mask over your face. But I feel like we need some kind of validation. In fact, Rob is doing this. I don't know if you guys else agree, but I feel like that's part of the deal.
Everybody's nodding in here. Okay, proof or it didn't happen. You can also make your pledge and get a copy of Dr. Metzl's book, The Exercise Cure, WPR.org, for $150 or more. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'll do a picture. All right. We'll go back to our callers now. We've got Pam with us in Watertown. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I was just calling to thank the doctor for this because I'm someone who maybe 7-8 years ago kind of got into exercising. And I love our Y in town, and I go 6 days a week for an hour. My family thinks I'm a little obsessed, but now hearing the doctor, I'm like, I'm happy that I can tell them that this exercise cure is out there. I've worked at my current job for 5 years. I've never had a sick day. I guess I just want to say I'm a real believer.
Hey, Pam, thank you, first of all, so much for calling. When I hear from people like you, it really makes me feel good because when I wrote this book and started thinking about it, it made sense to me as a doctor, but I didn't know how the message would translate to the everyday person. You know, to me, the most interesting part of putting this information together was the brain section. I don't know what you were like before you started doing this, but I'm guessing that your personality and your energy level have really changed for the better as you've been exercising regularly. The data on exercise and depression, exercise and anxiety, exercise and sleep, is so compelling that it makes me feel like I want everybody to listen to you and to listen to your story because that's exactly the right thing. Did you notice a change in your mood as you've been exercising more frequently? Because you sound great right now.
You know what? I guess I would say yes. I think I'm definitely, you know, upbeat and more even keeled.
It's important, and I make the case all the time that if you have, you know, depression or you have sleep problems and you live in the United States, you know, every fourth ad on television is an ad saying that, you know, the butterfly is going to fly in your window and you're going to have the best night's sleep of your life. Or if you're depressed, you take this medicine and you're going to hug your husband and your life will be forever changed. And yet, you know, you hear on the all these happy people on TV, and then there's the undercurrent of the people saying, well, these people are so happy, like the side effects of this medicine include X, Y, Z, whatever. And every medicine has a side effect. And we're also spending about $375 billion a year on medicine in this country. And I'm not saying that medicine isn't life-saving and life-changing, but what I'm saying is that you can really change the amount of medicine you need and sometimes get off medicine by using exercise as your first-line medicine. And somebody like you is a perfect example of why I think that's so important. So thank you for calling and letting us know.
Pam, inspiring stuff. And Dr. Metzl, thanks to you for the advice and the inspiration. I appreciate it.
Hey, you guys are awesome. My pleasure.
That was Dr. Jordan Metzl, author of The Exercise Cure. You can get your very own copy of The Exercise Cure by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pledge $150 or more. That's $12.50. We really just skimmed the surface. There's so much more practical advice in the book. You'll get a lot of use out of it, and you'll know you got it because you supported Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support Wisconsin Public Radio because you listen, because you get great information like we just got there from the author of The Exercise Cure. You get ideas to improve your life, help you think about the world, and to just improve the day-to-day quality of the way you think about things. Pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. I'm Veronica Rickert.
I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.